direction is about the people. And I said this, well, first of all, this election is.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
Everybody wants to take a little chance. Make it come out.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucchetti with Marco Marquez on this Wednesday, November 23rd. If you see me tonight, say hello at the Eagles concert. Yeah, boy. Let's talk to Coach Gary Barnett about some college football now.
I'm going to bet that Coach Barnett has seen the Eagles live in concert more than once in his life.
All right. Coach Gary Barnett, is Nate correct?
He's incorrect.
Damn it!
I've only seen them one time, but they were well worth it. And I would, if I had time, I'd probably go to more. But that's my group. I love that group, man. So listen to it all the time.
Coach, I've never seen them before. It's been a bucket list. This will be my first time tonight, and I'm very, very excited. It may be difficult to pick one, but what is your favorite Eagles song?
It is. I actually like the one you just played.
Yep.
That's a pretty good one.
I like it.
I mean, they're all awesome.
Oh, no, because I was like looking at the set list. You almost forget how many great songs they have, and then you add in.
Yeah.
Okay, Joe Walsh is going to do some of his solo stuff, and Don Henley's going to do some of his solo stuff. That's a three-hour show, but I'm looking forward to it. That song, that Heartache Tonight, reminds me when I used to go to the Royals games as a kid with my parents. When the Royals would lose, they would play Heartache Tonight in the stadium right after the game. And so, but, not great memories, but still memories of my childhood, and I love it. Man, do we have a lot of good matchups to talk about in college football. Let's start with Mizzou. Eli Drinkwitz was asked about progress for his program and how big of a game this is on Friday. He had a lot to say just about looking past the record, which is difficult for fans to do, and talking about facilities and growth and recruiting and things like that, planting the seed for success. But still, this game is really, really big. It gives you a chance to beat a good opponent at home. It gets you still a chance to finish with a winning record. You could even your record at 6-6, get into a bowl game. There's a lot there to be had. And so I'm just curious, in your opinion, you don't want to put too much on one game, but how important is this game for Eli Drinkwitz and to get a win against Arkansas and become bowl eligible?
Well, you're right. You can't put too much importance on it, but it's one of those things that's really important if you win. And if you lose, you're just not as far along as you want to be or as the fans want you to be. This weekend, the combination Thursday, Friday, Saturday is the best weekend in college football. Everybody plays. It's so hard to predict these games in this weekend. Everybody's playing some of them are playing their last game, and trying to pick who's going to win these games is crazy. And this game with Missouri, they beat them four times in a row at home since being in the SEC. And that says something, but it also says something to the other team. Like, we're tired of doing this, And they played really well last week against Ole Miss, who's a Jekyll and Hyde team. But, Missouri's got a slight advantage with defense. They really do in this game. Games at the end of the year, defense is really critical. And not that it's not other times, but into a big matchup like this, your defense has got to step up. And especially with these guys coming off the game they had against Ole Miss. So, but I think if Eli wins this game, he can breathe a little easier. I think the fan base feels better. But if he doesn't, you know, you're just going, oh, man. You know, we needed to take this step. We didn't. We were one game short of taking it. And you go back to, you know, you go back to all the games that they stumbled around in and didn't win. You know, Auburn for sure. And you just go, what could have, would have, should have. So he could avoid those if they can, you know, if they can win this game. And you know, it really comes down to the fans a lot in this game. And I don't know what you're expecting in Columbia, but this game can be won by a fan, a group of fans showing up and making this a hard place to play.
What do you think of the line? It's Arkansas by 3.
Yeah, I know, and I think that's about what I would say it would be. But, you know, 3's not much, and you're playing at home. And, you know, it's to me, this is a hard one to predict. And I think if Brady Cook can run a little bit, if defense can play, that Missouri can win this game. You know, they get 3 in the spread. So, you know, I certainly think it's a possibility. Are they going to do it? I don't think anybody knows in this case. You know, all the predictions say that it's going to be Arkansas by 2. So, you know, I don't know what – Marco, you better – I don't know what to tell you on this one. But, you know, I still think a home crowd makes a difference in this game.
Let me tell you something, Coach. Marco needs all the help he can get. We have a regular guest on the show, former Chiefs wide receiver Gary Dieter. And last week, Marco.
Don't tell Coach.
Oh, Coach
don't,
has to know.
No.
Coach
no,
has
no.
to know.
You got to own your behavior,
no.
Right, Marco? You got to own it.
Okay, so Marco.
Coach, turn off your phone. Hang up.
Trying to warm up to one of our guests, unsolicited, sent Gary Dieter a 6-pack of picks last Thursday. 6 different picks, thinking, you know what, I'm going to share my knowledge with one of our guests, and that'll make them even more excited about coming on the show. Coach, how many of those picks do you think won?
Well, it sounds like there weren't very many. I'm going to go with 0.
That it sounds like you know what you're talking about.
Bingo.
Because he went 0-for-6, and so you any information you could pass on to Marco is greatly appreciated from all of us here on the Border Patrol. And so, just it sounds like almost like you're saying stay away from this deal.
I am saying okay. Saying stay away from this thing.
All right, stay away, Marco, sure. Please. Now, Nate is sitting up straight in his chair. Play it, Marco. Play the sounder we have.
All right, the Sunflower Showdown.
That's
here it
right.
Is.
Charlie Weiss knew better than anybody.
Take it away, Nate.
Well, in all seriousness, Coach, I think that the rivalry between Kansas and Kansas State has deserved about as much enthusiasm as we heard from Charlie Weiss there over the past, you know, ever since really Bill Snyder took over as the coach there. There were a few years during the Mangino era where it was actually a fun, competitive game, and that's about it. And I don't know that Lance Leipold's team is ready to make it that kind of game yet. Maybe you'll tell me on that. But before we even get into that, I want to ask your thoughts as especially considering your perspective of coaching at a couple places where I don't know if you had the type of rivalry where this would work. But as you look, you mentioned the games on the schedule. You get the Egg Bowl between Mississippi State and Mississippi this weekend. There are in-state rivalry games all over the place from Thursday through Friday and Saturday. Florida, Florida State, UCLA, California, Georgia Tech, Georgia, you know, South Carolina, Clemson. It's just everywhere. And Kansas is playing Kansas State, and it hasn't always been the case that these two would play each other on Thanksgiving weekend. And we had Lance Leipold on this week, and he said he loves that, and he hopes they keep that. And his goal is to get it to the point where it's an appointment-type thing for the fans of Kansas and Kansas State both to get fired up for this, thinking, hey, we got a game on our hands this weekend. How important do you think that is for programs like Kansas and Kansas State to have some sort of traditional rivalry that actually matters, and maybe especially on a weekend like this where so many other schools in the country seem to have it?
Well, I think it represents college football, Nate. I mean, I think when you ask any college football fan, you ask in the Midwest, what are they going to tell you? Michigan, Ohio State. You ask out on the coast, UCLA, USC. I mean, these games are really important to the history of the game and to creating and maintaining, you know, a fan base. So, yeah, I think games like this are really important. I mean, our game was, when I was at Missouri, our game with Kansas was a big doggone deal. I mean, that rivalry had been there for years. Colorado, it was Nebraska. Friday after Thanksgiving, there was no bigger game.
Yeah.
And it used to be Texas A&M would play the earlier game, and we'd play the second game, or just the opposite. Depends on where we were playing. But, you know, I recruited many a kid that just said, man, I watched that game. I've been watching that game for years. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, for your home fan base, I think these games are critical, and I would hate to lose them and not see them. And this game becomes better than it has been in 15 years probably. And, you know, I mean, KU has a legitimate chance to win this. I don't think they're going to, because I think the game means too much to K-State right now to get into that championship game. But and they're playing really well on defense. Mm-hmm. And KU's struggling on defense. And that's the difference in this game, and that's why I think Kansas State probably covers in this game. But, you know, there's people in Kansas excited about this game for the first time, and I think that's critical for all the things that everybody's trying to do in college football right now. You know, create a fan base that supports NIL, to show a game where people want to transfer to. All that stuff becomes really important.
Yeah, and at least for me, I won't speak for any other Kansas fans but myself, but I feel like you. I'm not super optimistic that the Jayhawks are going to go even cover this game, but I'm optimistic for the future, especially now with the news that Lance Leipold's got a contract extension with KU. I'm excited that this game is going to become more and more competitive as time goes on. But I think for this game itself, look, Bijan Robinson ran for 243 yards and 4 touchdowns last weekend against Kansas, and they just look to me like a team that they just kind of seem spent. They've had a lot of injuries. They didn't have the depth that programs that have been up and running for a while have. They've had injuries, all that stuff, and they just look to me like, I don't know how much they have left in the tank to take on a running back like Bijan Robinson. Well, now they got to take on Deuce Vaughn and K-State. It doesn't give you a lot of optimism, I don't think, as a KU fan, that they're going to be able to slow him down if they couldn't slow down the Texas running game either. And from your perspective, what kind of chance do they have of slowing down that K-State offense and Deuce Vaughn, considering what we've seen from them the last couple weeks?
Well, I think they got to keep their offense off the field, and I think that's what they've got to do. Kansas offense becomes critical, and Daniels' play or Bean, whoever's going to play in this game, you know, keeping that offense, their offense on the field, keeping K-State's offense off the field is critical. K-State plays a down-tempo anyway, and so taking more plays away from a team that doesn't get that many plays is what becomes critical. If I were coaching the Kansas team, that's what I'd be emphasizing all week, is I would be keeping their offense off the field. Third downs become critical. Some big plays, some points, but it's. I think that's the approach that I would take in this thing.
But you mentioned, and we need to spend some time on K-State because they are contenders for the Big 12 championship game and a rematch with TCU. They are the second best scoring defense in the Big 12 behind Iowa State, and I think you give them credit because they play in games where they can score a little bit. Iowa State has to play low scoring games. What impresses you the most about this K-State defense, and how does KU even try to move the ball against them?
Well, you know, I think they're better against the pass than most teams are. They still give up 145 yards a game rushing. And so, to me, it looks like if Kansas's offensive attack can, if their passing attack can get to work in this game, that's where you're going to get them. And if they can get the running game back for Kansas, you know, and it's, you know, they're up and down. But when they run the ball well, they win the game. And so Kansas State versus the run is not great. They're good, but they're not great. So a combination, I think, in there, you've got to establish the running game. And the other thing to do, the reason to do that is to shorten the game a little bit, you know, take plays away from K-State by keeping the ball moving. You don't have to have the big play.
So what do you think of this game? How do you think it plays out?
I think Kansas State covers. I do. I think they've got more to play for, but I think you also could see a great game right here, and I think everybody's waiting. Everybody in Kansas, anyway, is waiting to see this game.
All right. Another game that everyone's waiting to see. Number 3, Michigan at number 2, Ohio State. Ohio State favored by 7.5 points. 11 a.m. on Saturday. What do you think of this matchup?
Boy, I think this is really hard to predict this year because I don't think Ohio State's offense has been what it was supposed to be, mainly because of injuries. And it's, you know, this defense by that Michigan's playing is really, really good. And, you know, I think 7.5 is about it. I really don't think – I think Michigan probably covers in this game and with 7.5. I think this will be a close game. And I watched Michigan last week, and they got lucky, but they were playing a really good defense. They were playing a better defense last week than they're going to – against Illinois than they're going to see this week with Ohio State. And so if Corum is healthy then I think they make a real run at this thing. But I think this is one everybody needs to tape and watch or watch as it's playing out because there's a bunch of those, though. I mean, how many of these games are unpredictable this week?
You mentioned that game last week. Brett Bielema was furious at the officials after the game.
Yep.
Do you think he should have been?
Well, I think so. I think there were a couple of calls. There was a holding call in there that really hurt him. And I played that over 2 or 3 times. I could not see the hold. What got him was that pass interference call at the end of the game, which I think was probably a good game, good call. But I think there were probably 2 or 3 before that. There was one before the halftime that had him really riled up, and I agreed with him there. I did think that he got hosed a little bit.
What about Notre Dame at USC?
Boy, is that going to be a good football game or what? You know, I've seen SC so many times, and I've seen, you know, Caleb Williams probably, if he gets through these two games, probably wins the Heisman. Notre Dame is a solid team. It's as solid as anybody in the Pac-12. And, you know, it's a Utah kind of program, tough. And, you know, this game, you're going to make me pick it. I'm not sure how I'm going to pick this thing. But I think just because of what's on the line, probably SC. But this one could go the other way pretty doggone quick. And I like Notre Dame, you know, and I sort of like Notre Dame with 5 points, but I think SC probably wins it at the end.
And under the radar game that people should watch if they can, Friday at 11 a.m., number 19, Tulane, and number 24, Cincinnati. And, of course, Cincinnati, yep, sooner or later will be in the Big 12. And Tulane, I mean, you look at what they've done this year. They won at Kansas State. And Willie Fritz has a lot of local ties, and so we try to monitor what he's doing. He's doing a terrific job with Tulane. What about Tulane and Cincy?
Yeah, that's a great game, and Willie Fritz has done a terrific job. And Cincinnati, you know, I think is a 2-point favorite in this thing, and it's at Cincinnati, and that's the only reason I would go in Cincinnati on this game. If it were playing somewhere at Tulane, I'd go with Tulane because I think this is going to be that kind of game. So I'll take Cincinnati since it's at home, but has potential to be a great game to watch. And you're right, that's the game that's under the radar.
Last game to ask you about, you know these two teams well, and this is a hell of a rivalry. Number 9, Oregon, at number 21, Oregon State.
I was shocked to see Oregon State was getting 3 points and not more in this game. You know what's crazy about that game is there's only half a stadium. Half the stadium is being rebuilt. Oh. So there's only going to be 22 or 25,000 people at this game. And it makes for a really weird atmosphere for this game, which is a big game out there. Oregon State is tough. They're solid top to bottom, and they're playing at home. I'm going to go with – I still think Bo Nix wins this. I'm going to go with Oregon.
Last question for you. You think that Lane train is headed to Auburn?
I don't know. You know, that game itself is – the Mississippi State game, that's about the two coaches, not about the players. There's more people want to see those two guys go at it than they do the players. So I think he's waiting to be the head coach at Alabama. That's what I think.
Well, and you're right. I'd like to see a debate between Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach.
Oh, my gosh. That would be hilarious.
The hell with
and
the football
awesome.
Game. That's right. Hey, Coach, a lot of great college football. Thank you so much for the time. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, we'll feast on those games this weekend, boys. Talk to you later.
That's exactly right. And Marco looking to feast on college football. And so what will be your biggest plays this weekend? College football, college basketball, the World Cup, or the NFL?
You know, I haven't looked much at the college basketball slate for this weekend.
There's a lot there for you.
Although Jalen Wilson and the prop bet hit the over last week for me. What about 55.5 for Missouri, Arkansas? We talked about the spread, but what about the total?
I think I'd go the under there.
Yeah.
Is Missouri involved? Take the under. Didn't work out against Tennessee, but I guess the
Tulane's been very helpful this year. When betting them to cover. I like them +2 against Cincinnati on Friday.
Well, if you want to sniff around some college basketball, Nate Bucati, we will be off the air early today. I wonder why.
If I couldn't love Kansas basketball anymore, they give us a half an hour break the day before Thanksgiving. What a deal that is. The battle for Atlantis. You ever been to Paradise Island in the Bahamas?
I've been to Tijuana and nowhere else besides the United States, okay?
My wife and I, about 15 years ago, when we were still dating, took a cruise, probably the one and only cruise we'll ever take in our life. And we spent a day in the Bahamas, and we took a pontoon boat tour that was not the nicest that you could go on. But we got to see Paradise Island. It was there. We could see. We didn't access it, but we saw it. It looked very nice. It looked very fancy. That's where Greg Gurley and Brian Haney are, I assume, right now. They're getting ready to call this game Kansas versus North Carolina State at 11 o'clock this morning.
I thought you were going to say something mean, like you could see Greg Gurley from your pontoon boat or something like that.
Well, oh, boy, there was a joke that is too far. Huh? That just came up to my mind.
You sure?
Something about a beach and
Yeah, you know what? Be nice
Anyways,
to your friends.
He is. He is a friend. He's a good man, Greg Gurley. And they're going to be on the call. Kansas versus North Carolina State. There is a graphic that KU just put out of Grady Dick dribbling a basketball
in the
ocean.
Very graphic. How the hell is he doing that?
It's about the people. You know,
right.
Grady Dick is about
the
people.
Maybe we should hear from Herschel Walker about that Grady Dick graphic. I think I don't know.
What do you mean shake your head? If I told you you had that ready 5 times, we know 9:30.
That's got to be on the quick trigger.
You got to
right
be ready
there,
every
Marco.
Segment.
You know,
he's got to come out firing with that.
It really makes some people mad, but. He has really burst onto the scene, Grady Dick, as a freshman, and he's been incredible so far, hitting big shots, making big plays down the stretch. So we'll see him today, 11 o'clock. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, and in an hour from now, Jayhawk pregame starts as the Bad Boy Mowers battle for Atlantis. If there's anything that I think about when I think about the Bahamas, it's riding lawnmowers.
We'll say it again.
I thought you were about to... Say,
how about when Nate's not talking, now you can play it. Go.
Well, first of all, this election is more than Herschel Walker. This election is about the people.
Right. Very wise words.
Who could disagree?
Nobody. I also want to mention, since we're talking college basketball, congratulations to the Kansas City Roos. They won again yesterday. And so they're playing in this Gulf Coast Showcase. And 2 days ago, they were 18 or 19-point underdogs, and they beat Toledo, a top 100 KenPom team. First time they beat a top 100 team since 2016. And so they were 18-point underdogs. They won outright. Yesterday, they were 10.5-point underdogs, and they beat Indiana State by 2. Boy, they had a 7-point lead, and they missed like 3 free throws in a row and down the stretch. They won by 2. They won outright. And I was texting with Marvin Menzies, and he's very excited about the way his team played. So he said, except for the final couple minutes, and they made it closer than they should have. Well, here they are today. They will play at 6:30 p.m. in the championship game of the Gulf Coast Showcase against Florida Gulf Coast. And so good luck to the Roos. I think the Roos are favored now, though. They've been big underdogs, and they won. So now all of a sudden, they're favored. That's the host team. Florida Gulf Coast down there.
So I put some action on it.
I mean, ride with the ruse. They've taken care of me the last 2 days. Why not? Keep going to the well until the water's gone. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It's time to find out who's got this. Presented by Mike DePasquale and the law offices of DePasquale Moore.
All hell breaking loose in the studio. We're having Friendsgiving. We're eating bagels. Nate's screaming because Japan just scored a goal against the Germans. And so it's a very wild Wednesday morning here on the Border Patrol. It's Wednesday, November 23rd, 2022. Levo, do you see that Japan scored? Nate was hollering about that. How about that? Is that a surprise to you? Levo can't believe it.
That goal's been coming.
Also, congratulations to Todd Levo, who had a six-team college basketball parlay yesterday, including Kansas State, including the Kansas City Ruse, because he knows where his bread is buttered. Mm-hmm, now we'll go to our good friend, Mike DePasquale. Mike's got this. Mike's got picks. What's up, Mike? How are you?
Good. I'm just tuning in. Germany versus Japan.
Dude, I tell you what. This is the thing, if just a real quick sales pitch. The reason that I think the World Cup is so fascinating, you get to see the cultures and identities of these different countries play out on a soccer field. And Germany-Japan is a perfect example because Germany they're organized, they're disciplined, they're technically sound, you know, they know what they're doing. And Japan are just committed. I mean, they are committed to the cause as a team. They work their butts off. They play collectively.
I'm rooting for Japan right now.
And they do not give up. I mean, Germany has the more quality. They got their players all play at the biggest clubs in the world, and they've won World Cups before. Japan are big underdogs here. They were down 1-0, and they are not going quietly. And they have played a great game, and they got this goal to tie it up 1-1. This is really fun to watch. Really fun.
I agree. My HR lady, my HR person, Sandra, is from Germany. She's not going to be happy if it's 1-1.
No.
My buddy's wife's from Argentina, and he said their house is like in mourning right now.
Yeah. Do you know what? Argentina can still win that group, though.
Because, they can, but she's sick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She like ended the streak of X amount of years.
Yep.
She's sick.
Yeah, they'd been 36 games without a loss, and they lost to Saudi Arabia. So, fun stuff. Anyways, well, let's get to our picks.
Listen, real quick. Before we get to them, because we're going to talk about – we got a bunch of high school football state championships coming up and semifinals, and I was talking to Dion. And by the way, is there anyone maybe in the country who knows more about high school football than Dion?
No.
The dude is an encyclopedia. But in any event, so Missouri, we got what – We got semis, man. We got Lee Summit North playing for all the marbles this weekend. Then we got Fort Osage, Smithville, Pleasant Hill, East Buchanan, Adrian playing for semifinals to go to the state championship. Then in Kansas, you got Gardner in 6A, Mill Valley in 5A, Bishop Miege in 4A. We're pretty dang lucky to have all that good high school football played right here, aren't we?
And you get to see Avery Johnson play. Future K-State quarterback, right?
Against a team that doesn't give up any points.
Yeah, that's
no points.
You got Mark Boerichter on the call of that on television, by the way, too. And so, and you're right. And we'll
I heard
all,
him talking about that.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
But those boys should be excited. They have an opportunity to do something special and have fun doing it.
Hey,
good luck to all the boys out there playing this weekend.
I also saw that you ordered a massive Pretzel Boy spread for your office last week. How did that turn out?
Well, I ate probably 25% of it. Although my warnings to stay away from the cinnamon sugar ones were not necessarily heeded, I managed to find my way to the standard pretzel with a cream cheese type icing dressing. It was delicious. I probably ate honestly the equivalent of like three full giant pretzels. I felt terrible, but it was so worth it.
But now you're ready for Mike's Got Picks. I don't care what the rules say. I got five games because they don't want to ask you about Buffalo on Thanksgiving, but I will, okay? Oh, it's the Buffalo Bills at the Detroit Lions. The Lions have won three in a row. They're coming off an upset road win over the New York Giants, and Buffalo is favored by 9.5, the 11:30 a.m. game tomorrow on Thanksgiving. What do you got here? The Bills or the Lions? Buffalo by 9.5.
Oh, that's a lot of points.
It is a lot of points.
I'll take the Lions. I hate that. My Aunt Linda's going to kill me. My brother-in-law. Everyone's going to kill me. My
Aunt
family.
Linda's
that's too
pissed.
Many points. She's furious. She hates when she hears me pick against the Bills.
What about furious. You, Nate Ducati? I'd like Detroit to win, and I'm not Lions.
Well, don't you have any pride?
Nope.
Get it? That was another.
Right. Hashtag one pride.
Yeah.
Make the pick.
I already have gone on to DraftKings and put my money down on this.
On
Detroit.
You take them points.
Because Stephen St. There's two reasons, Mike, I did this. First of all, because Stephen St. John told me to.
Yeah.
But that makes me a little nervous because he's like got this weird love affair with the Detroit Lions right now.
But now I'm feeling different because Adam Kaplan said that Buffalo's going to blow him out. So
but Marco refused to take Steven's advice, and that makes me want to take Steven's advice because every time Steven tells Marco to put some money on something and Marco refuses to do so, the next day he comes on and goes, oh, I should have listened to Steven.
I told Marco to take Detroit money line on Sunday, didn't do it. I told Marco to take UMKC over Toledo, didn't do it. That's fine. So he's going to do it. You're going to take Detroit. Let's move on to the next game. We're going in chronological order. Now we find ourselves on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, 2:30 p.m. in Columbia, Mizzou trying to become bowl eligible against rival Arkansas. The Razorbacks favored by 3 points. Nate Bucati.
This is in Columbia?
That's literally what I just said.
Just making
sure. Seconds ago.
Just making sure. I'm trying to write all this down.
Right.
I'm taking the Razorbacks.
No way. This is all part of my premonition this year. I promise you guys, I had a premonition start early in the season that KU and MU would meet in the Liberty Bowl on a drizzly December day, and that would require Missouri to win this weekend, wouldn't it?
Right? Well, yeah, theoretically.
That's the rumor. There's buzz.
Yeah.
Wait, this game's in Columbia?
Would you go?
It is.
Huh.
Sure? Unfortunately, I can't. I'm furious. I'm slated to be out of town. But I will... I might change my trip if that happens because I would love that.
Oh, my God. Japan just scored a goal, Mike. Because
I said that I was rooting for him. I said I was rooting for him.
Wait, I must be way behind you because I'm still showing 1-1. I'm seeing the ball, guy kicking the ball long. I see the guy get it.
I predict Japan's going to score.
Oh, my gosh.
What a goal.
That's pretty awesome. That's what happens you watch TV on the Roku app. You're 30 seconds behind.
All right.
You got Mizzou. That game's in Columbia?
Mizzou. Yeah, because I'm telling you, it's going to be KU and MU in the Liberty Bowl.
Fine.
Lance Leipold on a big extension. That's going to be fun.
They both got some nice extensions.
Herschel Walker's got an extension.
Yeah, well, that's a different story. Now we're going to move on, and let's take us to Saturday. The big game between Michigan and Ohio State. It's going to be at Ohio State, and a lot of people are excited to watch this game at 11 a.m. Ohio State is favored by 7.5. Mike DePasquale.
Ohio State. Michigan got lucky to win last weekend. You saw Brent Bielema's tweet, right?
Right.
Where they just blocked the guy down the field.
Bert was mad.
I was like, yeah, I'd be mad too. Yeah, Ohio State's got this.
All right. So what about you, Nate?
I'll be a contrarian. I'll go Michigan. I know everybody, all my buddies that are Michigan fans are telling me that we never beat Ohio State.
Yeah, but you get 7.5.
Yeah, I'll take 7.5.
Nothing wrong with that. Okay, so now we've gone through three games. Now we get to Saturday night. A little thing Nate calls the Sunflower Showdown is Charlie Weiss.
Sunfeller.
Was so excited. Never has anyone given more energy to this showdown than Charlie Weiss right here.
All right, the Sunflower Showdown.
And then he immediately fell asleep. What about the Sunflower?
He just had a roast beef sandwich and some Fritos and took a nap.
Well, boy, you're getting personal, aren't you?
That was his favorite meal.
In Manhattan, and Kansas State is favored. I'll be honest with you. I thought they'd be favored by more. I thought they'd be favored by 2 touchdowns, but it's K-State favored by 11.5. Nate Bucati, let's see if he picks his precious Jayhawks.
I stupidly picked Kansas last week.
And do it again.
I think they've kind of run out of gas. I think especially defensively, They're just a little beat up. I don't think they quite have the depth yet to get through the meat grinder that is a Big 12 season.
Yeah, well,
every single
game,
you never get a chance to, you know, to get healthy. So I'm going to take K-State even with the points.
What do you say, Mike?
I'm going to take K-State, but not because I necessarily think KU's run out of gas. I think KU's had a fabulous season. K-State's just a better team right now.
Well,
they've been,
yeah,
they have continuity with the coaching. They have a program that's been around for, you know, since the late 80s, and Bill Snyder took over, and they've just been continually building on it. And then Klieman's a fabulous coach, fabulous players. Yeah, I both teams, great season. K-State's going to be a tough one for KU. I'll leave it at that.
Yep. On to the Chiefs on Sunday, 3:25 p.m., at Arrowhead Stadium, you've got the Chiefs hosting the 3-7 defending champ Rams, the defending world champs, 14.5-point underdogs. Who do you like, the Chiefs or the Rams, Mike?
That's a second high. I think the Bills are favored by 16 at one point this year. That's high. But the Rams are crumbling. I'll take the Chiefs, but that's a lot of points. I wouldn't touch that if I was in real bet in front of me.
Nick Buckley.
I'll take the Rams to cover. Chiefs beat them by 14.
Ridiculous.
Two touchdowns.
All right, before we let you go, my good friend Jamie from CBD American Shaman would like me to thank a gentleman by the name of Mike DePasquale for helping the Third and Long Foundation yesterday with 1,500 turkeys for families in Kansas City. Mm. And so Jamie wanted to extend that thank you to you, Mike, for doing something else very, very worthwhile.
Thank you, my
in
friend.
The community.
Well, I appreciate it. There was a picture of my staff out there, like, you know, handing turkeys out, and I'm looking at it, and I said to myself, man, when did we get all those big dudes working for us? There were guys in the back row. Then I realized it was all the Chief alumni.
Oh,
they did not
right.
work for me. I was thinking we might have a chance in the Lawyer League basketball league, but
is there
they apparently don't work for me.
Is there such a thing?
Yeah. We finished, I think, second. We won the regular season in Lawyer League softball, and then got upset in the playoffs, largely because of my absence, I believe. But, we're an athletic powerhouse at DePasquale and more.
If you ever need
a recruit based on that.
If you ever need a point guard that shoots 12% from three-point land, I got Nate Bucati right here, always willing to fill in.
I'm a chucker.
That's right.
I'm definitely a chucker.
That's right.
There's
another word they call you that rhymes with that, but I'm not going to say it. Mike, thanks. A happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Please tell all of us out there, if we need your help, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, mikesgotthis.com, and hope everybody has a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, Mike. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
You were screaming, and Marco was jumping up and down when Japan scored the goal. And so a lot of enthusiasm brought to what a wild World Cup this has been so far. And right now is Japan clinging to a 2-1 lead. Right now, with just a couple of minutes to go, back after this on WHB.